You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must have, an absolute must add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible, and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life, are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it, you can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week here on Finding Direction. And I am truly excited to bring you this week's episode as I sit down with Kathy Caprino. We had a wonderful conversation. She is extraordinarily insightful. And at the young age of 61 is doing some truly, truly incredible work. To give you a little bit about her background, Kathy Caprino is an internationally recognized career and leadership coach. She's a writer, a speaker, an educator dedicated to the advancement of women in business. A former corporate VP, she is also a trained therapist, seasoned executive coach, senior Forbes contributor, top media source on careers, and the author of two books, Breakdown, Breakthrough, and her new book, The Most Powerful You, 7 Bravery Boosting Paths to Career Bliss. Now, as you can see, Kathy is doing a lot. She's making an incredible impact. She also has a podcast that is called Finding Brave, and she's making an unbelievable impact there as well. As you can see, and soon as you'll hear from her, she's just got a beautiful soul, a beautiful spirit, a beautiful heart. And some of the things we talk about on this episode are, one, how sometimes the love you crave from your parents at a young age
dictates why you do certain things you do in your life. I think some of you, this would be really fascinating to learn some of these things. We also talk about how do you get out of work if you're doing something and you know it's not what you're supposed to be doing? How do you begin to make that shift in a very safe way? We give a lot of beautiful breakdowns on how you can do that. And we also talk about how do you start to find some of the gifts that you have and live more fully in those gifts? Because when you do that, that's when you go into this true, beautiful, blissful moment. All right. So we talk about a lot of those on the episode. If you have not yet, make sure that you click that subscribe button. Leave us a rating. If you have a friend that you know is trying to get clarity on what they want to do with their life or feels a little bit stuck or is just ready to get to another level in their life, I highly, highly, highly encourage you, send them this episode. I promise they're going to send a message back and go, man, thank you for sending me over that episode, because there are loads and loads and loads of gold nuggets sprinkled throughout this entire episode. All right, so go ahead, enjoy the episode. Without further ado, we are going to dive in. Kathy Caprino, welcome to the podcast. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to talk about finding direction and anything we can explore about that. I can't wait.
Absolutely. We're going to have a lot of good juiciness in the conversation. And so I figured where we'd start off is, how about if you could give us all kind of an inside look as far as like, what was life like for little Kathy? Like, what was life? Were you Kathy? Were you Catherine? What was like as you were a little kid running around?
Ooh, what a question. Always Kathy, although my formal name is Catherine. That's not me at all.
Yeah.
I had a blast as a young person. I was a tennis player, went to the States in tennis in high school. I was a singer, loved to be on stage.
Dang.
I had a blast. I would say, however, and you know, if you read anything about what I ever say, we're never blaming, you know, my parents did the best they could and they were amazing and loving, but I did have some lessons. In fact, I learned one of those lessons listening to Tony Robbins' I Am Not Your Guru documentary about who did you crave love most from and who did you have to be?
Yeah.
And what I realized, you know, just recently is I felt like I had to be brilliant for Dad because he was brilliant. Phi Beta Kappa, photographic memory, scientist. And I felt like I had to be obedient for my sweet Greek mom because there was no challenging your Greek mother. So while I had an incredibly robust childhood and fun and loving childhood and teen years, as I got older, you know, when you feel like you have to be brilliant and you have to be obedient, those things clash and those things are difficult. So, you know, I had some lessons that I had to unlearn.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, for anybody listening to this, obviously I'm in Tony's world. We've both seen the documentary, I'm Not Your Guru, but for anybody that's kind of like, well, what do you mean you crave, whose love did you crave more? There's really interesting studies that show, you know, based on whose love you craved more, your mom or your dad, if you really start to dig into it, and we won't go fully into it, but to give everybody kind of a taste, oftentimes you crave one parent's love more, and based on whose love you craved more, you wanted to be a certain way, and that's how you felt like you had to earn that love, right? And so it's like, as we go throughout our life, sometimes we have this thing that we're driven to do because we feel like it's going to get us the love that we crave most in the world, which is our mom or our dad, when the reality is we have to kind of unpack that a little bit more and ask like, well, why do we actually want this? What do we really want with our life? And when we can begin to do some of that deeper work, that's when we can start to figure out, okay, well, what do I actually want? Because sometimes, you know, people spend years, decades of their life going, I want this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to create this. And then they get there thinking that when they get there, they're going to have the love they want most, when maybe that's not exactly the case. And so it's just, it's a really interesting thing. And for anybody that hasn't watched that documentary, it's like, go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Go watch it.
As long as you have Netflix, it's free. So it's not really free, but it's a great, it'll hit you in the heart.
Something will get unlocked in you. And you know, if you don't mind me digging in about that, I think the thing that I didn't understand that got in was Dad was a GE guy, 7 patents. He loved it. And I was like the son he didn't have because I was, you know, athlete and watch football with Ohio State with him. And I think through osmosis unconsciously, I thought that working in a big company, a corporate company, was your way to paradise. But frankly, Stu, from day one, I was in it 18 years, had a lot of success on the outside. it wasn't the right thing for me, but it took me many years to figure out this is not for you. And it's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. But, you know, there was no entrepreneurial anything in my lineage. And again, we're not blaming. Everyone's doing the best they can. They, you know, gave me what they thought was the best. But I remember when I was 41 and had been laid off brutally after 9/11, after 2 years of a corporate sexual harassment, gender discrimination, toxic colleagues, narcissistic bosses, chronic illness, no work-life balance. I should have left.
Yeah.
But I didn't, got laid off, and I became a therapist. That's a fun story. But I remember having that phone call in the car with my father. I'm 41 and he's 81. And I was scared to tell him that I was leaving corporate and going to become a therapist. Wow.
What did he say?
You know what he said? Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Do what you want. But I think earlier on, he wouldn't have said that.
Maybe he was older. And
he was older and he's like, do whatever the heck you want here. You know?
Yeah.
And that happens when you're older. You look back about the regrets that you have and they're not about how much money you made.
Yeah. And I think it's important too to have those conversations because, you know, I've had similar things in my life where it was actually with my dad as well, where it was like, this is something I want to say and scares the crap out of me to say this. For me, it was leaving school a second time. And after he had convinced me to go back after I left the first time, and then I had the conversation with him and it's like, you just never know how it's going to go. Yeah. Sometimes it may not go the way you want, but I had the conversation. He was like, do what you love, like follow, you know, if that's what your heart says and it's really what's, you know, called to you. And fortunately in both of the conversations we had, we were lucky enough to have a positive turnout and it doesn't always go that way.
No.
But I was reading this book by Will Smith the other day, and then I want to dive back into your life to kind of go a little bit more chronological, but I was reading this part of his life where, to save a long story short, there was someone that he didn't do wrong on, but he went off to go do his music career and this other person felt that Will Smith did him wrong. And so he went outside of Will Smith's house with a gun and he was just waiting there to scare the crap out of him. And Will Smith's dad walked over to the car and said, basically, I see the gun. If you want to come in, come and kill Will, but you're going to have to kill me, the mom. It was like, he was like, everybody. He's like, but unless you do that, stop coming around. And Will, obviously the person didn't come in and do anything. He drove off. But the lesson Will got from it is he goes, I'd rather like own up to my fears than walk around my entire life scared.
Wow.
And it was just like
lesson.
Powerful, right? And so I think it's powerful that we got to have some of those conversations that are uncomfortable to have sometimes just so that we don't sit in that in between torture zone, really. So anyhow, let's say we jump back to your life. So you're dancing, you're singing, you're doing all the things. And at what point does the, let's say just for easy—
when it all go wrong?
Well, so for an easy timeline, let's say you get to the end of school and you start to step into the real world. Yeah. So I'm curious, like what was going through your brain at that point? Was it, you know, hey, I want to be a big, you know, VP, executive of a company?
Yes, or I love this question.
Through your head?
So I do want to say that I think I was a big fish in a little pond where I, in high school, and I went to Boston University and I went completely underground. I brought my tennis racket to try out. Forget it. I left, you know, with my tail between my legs. I went to try out for singing, got into the upperclassmen choir. And then the guy looks and I'm a freshman and he yells at me, you just wasted my time. And I slunk away. I went underground. I did love ideas. I was an English major. I was a writer, studied, you know, literature in London for a year. So when I came out of school, and I write about this and speak about this, I wanted to be an editor that helped amazing authors birth their ideas.
Love that.
So back in my day, Methuselah here, you typed out resumes on my Smith Corona. Can you believe it? I mean, unbelievable. And so nice. I go to NYU to the Publishing Institute. I'm like, I found my place. I love it.
Yeah.
And I sent out the resumes. But what was I worried about? I was in a Brooklyn apartment. Money. So I took the very first job that was offered to me. Mistake number 1422. It was some crappy marketing job. Now, I'm a good copywriter because I'm a good writer. It was so horrible. But here is the lesson. About 3 weeks into that job, I heard from I believe it was Simon & Schuster, one of the biggest New York publishers. And I had applied for an assistant editor job, or lowest level, you know, assistant, whatever.
Yeah, just to get
in. They said, we're interested in, can you come in for an interview? So what do I say, Stu? The good little Greek Italian girl says, I can't do that. I can't leave this job, this horrible job. Oof. I didn't go. That was the beginning of 18 years of not honoring, not understanding. And again, I teach this, my second book's all about this, understanding that every one of us is needed in the world. Every one of us is unique, like our thumbprint. Every one of us is special. And I mean, you have special gifts that the world needs.
Yeah.
If you don't recognize that, you make mistakes. And I made them, and I made them. And then to your point, I just got on the path. Let me make more money. Let me go from manager to director to vice president. Woohoo.
Right. You got caught up in the system in a way.
I got caught up in the system of success. And it was bumpy all along the way. And I didn't understand, why is this so bumpy? And especially being a woman back then and rising up. And it was only when I hit 40 that the bumps turned into, they were full-blown crises, full-blown.
So before we go into the crisis, because you've sparked my curiosity, but I'm curious if we go back, I think something that you pointed out that happens too much, unfortunately, is when people graduate, they go into the real world, and all of a sudden there's so much pressure of, you got to have your life figured out. You're 20 something and you got to get it together. And if you don't take the first job, then you must be a failure, right? There's this insane amount of pressure and just stuff going on. And I think a lot of people do exactly what you did, right? It's like, okay, it's the first thing, pool. Let me go get that so that, you know, I'm not the one that like failed or
the
didn't make
beat.
It or... Yeah, exactly. And as soon as that happens, I forget the studies, maybe you know them, but there's some statistic that it's like 70% of people end up staying in the line of work of the first job they get once they transition to the real world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an insane amount of people that once they get into that line, they just stay in it because just like you, they start to get into this flow. Well, now, I got a little promotion. I like a little bit more money. I don't hate it that much. And then eventually it gets to a point where maybe something happens. But I'm curious like what your thought would be on... Let's say someone is listening to this and they're going, wow, maybe I did take the first job and maybe it wasn't something that I really wanted to do, but I needed to make money. I needed to pay my rent. I needed to, you know, show that I was not a failure, whatever it was. But they took that first job and they've now started to realize this might not be the right thing. How does someone get out of that?
Yeah, I love it. So what I see in working with thousands of professionals is they believe, and I work primarily focused on mid to high level professional women, but even when you're 5 years down the line, here's what goes through, I know you know all this, but here's what goes through professionals' mind. If I leave, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to have to start over. I'm going to go through all my money. I probably could fail. This is what they think. Because we're rational people. What they don't understand is you can begin to explore a new direction without risking anything. Like for me, even back that first job, why couldn't I go on the interview? Nobody would know.
Yeah.
But no, and this is what I see honestly over and over every single day for 16 years. When I say to someone, okay, you're at Accenture, and you want to get into this, let's talk about what some steps would be. They can't even get out of the gate to explore that. I mean, the first steps are try to identify. And when you're really disconnected from who you are and what you want, you can't even answer the question. Like, can I share this story, which I adore? When I got laid off and said, I can never return, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown or I'm going to get cancer of the throat or whatever it was because I had infections of the trachea. I'm sitting in my therapist's office and he says, I love this story. I know from where I'm 41, little kids, big house. I know from where you sit, this is the worst crisis you've ever faced. But from where I sit, it's the first moment you can choose who you want to be in the world. Now, who do you want to be? Now, Stu, what I love about this is if I knew that, I wouldn't have been stuck for 18 years. So my mind went blank, it went dark, but I remember going, I don't know, I want to be you. And we laughed. And he said, what a good coach. He was a therapist, but he said, what does that mean to you? And I said, I want to help people, not hurt people and be hurt. That is what I said. And when you're in the presence of a great uplifter, which he was, he said, you know what, Kathy? I've known you for 2 years. I think you'd make a great therapist. Have you ever thought of it? And long story short, I did become a therapist, which was not the end destination for me. It was dark work, rape, incest, pedophilia, suicidality, drug addiction, attempted murder. I'm like, what have I done? It was hard for me and I wasn't really quite prepared. But what it showed me was when I finally got to the right place, it is everything I always was, Stu. I mean, I use my voice. I'm on stage. I write. Even when I was 17, young people, my friends would go, can I talk to you? And it would be a big problem. I want to run away. I don't understand why people don't like me. I'd be like, why are they asking me? I'm 17. But even then I had a therapeutic ear. So what I'm telling people is go back to who you always were. What are those recurring themes that you have most definitely let go of? You know, I also love to compete. I like self-mastery. It's everything I'm doing now and nothing that I did for 18 years. So going back to your question, I would say to you, you don't have to risk everything to simply explore. Yeah. And that's the first step. Don't leap. I call it the pendulum effect. When you stay too long and you're broken down and you want to go to the farthest ends of the earth, right? Like from corporate to therapist. Don't do that. Mm. Just begin to explore. What are you great at? What were you great at? What have you let go of? Who inspires you? Oh, there's all these wonderful steps to take.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautifully said, right? You can explore other things, not risk it all. And I love the way he said it. He goes, this is the first time that you get to intentionally create who you want to be.
What a question.
What a question.
I'd never allowed myself to ask that.
Why?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give you a lot of words, a lot of terms. I am what you call a perfectionistic overfunctioner.
I go there sometimes.
You know what that is? Doing more than is appropriate, necessary, and healthy, and trying to get an A+ in all of it. And that's who I was as a child. You know, again, not to blame. This is not blaming, but Dad would look at the grades and it would be all A's and an A-, and he'd say, okay, good. Now what's going on with the A-? He didn't mean it. He just meant what's going on, because you normally get all that. But I internalized, I became that.
Yeah.
So for 18 years, it was about, and sadly, here's another thing I hope people will relate to. I didn't have any other way to build my self-esteem than the money I made and the title I had, which is heartbreaking. Mm. Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I did have a lot of self-esteem as a parent. I was a good parent.
Yeah.
My kids are 24 and 27 now, and we're close and they're doing great. But it was all about how do I build my very fragile ego?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't pursue things that I didn't want to start over. I mean, I couldn't imagine at 41. I was financially responsible for a lot. Where am I going to go? I was making a lot and our family needed that. These are all the, I'm going to say excuses, don't get mad people, but they are excuses why you don't change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one thing everybody can take from that too, that if you're listening to this and you're relating where you're going, yeah, maybe I did pick the first job, or even if you're not at something that doesn't totally light you up. And I think an easy way to know that is just being honest with yourself. And like, you know what I mean? You know, when you know you're doing your thing that you're supposed to do and you're not. But it's a matter of being honest with yourself. And if you're honest with yourself and you're going, yeah, I don't know if this thing like lights me up. And even if you just say that, I don't know if this is the thing, or I don't know if this lights me up, that means it's not, because you would know if it is.
If it's maybe, it's not.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
But Stu, you know what I hear also? This is what I hear. I don't even know if this lights me up. Like, people are so disconnected from themselves, especially in COVID, especially moms and dads with little kids. I mean, their heads are exploding. But yeah. I have people who say, I don't even know what I would want if it isn't this. I'm so confused. I also have people say, I don't want to give up the security I have, at which point I say, because I lost my job after 9/11, when I had been promised a long career, that the leader said, buy the biggest house you can. You have a long career here. 9/11, we lost our travel division, you know, nothing is secure outside yourself, people. Nothing.
Yeah.
What's secure is the talents and gifts that you have, that you've honed, that you can always use and you can always leverage. So the people that say, this is so secure, I can't leave. Wow, you're doing such a disservice to yourself. Yeah. But can I say this,
Stu? And it's false.
Some people say to me, do you believe, you know, do what you love and the money will follow? No. I'm going to just dead stop. Yeah. Not necessarily. You know, I know a lot of my ex-husband's a famous jazz percussionist. I've lived in the world of art, you know, art and theater, and I'm a singer and been singing for years. No, not necessarily do what you love and the money will come. It comes when you understand what your gifts and talents are and that you are using them in service of others. Like, I have people who say, I want to write a book. You've written 2 books. Great. So I say, are you writing? Well, no, I'm not writing. Well, first of all, why not? And they think, well, you know, I want to be a best-selling author and leave my job. Forget it. Just forget it. That's not why great writers write.
Right.
They write because they can't not write.
Yeah,
so
you got a message.
Some people say, woohoo, I'm in the coaching world. I've started my coaching business. How come I'm not making any money? Well, there's a lot of reasons you're not making money as a coach. So I think we have so many myths. Do what you love and the money will follow. I think we have myths about, if I'm passionate about something, that is the direction I should pursue as my livelihood. So I'm one who knows I have to have 2 things in my life to be happy. Well, a lot of things, but tennis and singing. But I never wanted to make money as a singer, ever. Right. I have, you know, been paid for this gig and that gig, and I never wanted that. Whereas my ex, that's how he wanted to make his living. But just because you want to be a singer in the band doesn't mean that's how you want to make your living.
Right. And there's ways to find other outlets to do the things that you love that may not be the thing that makes you money.
That's
but
it.
I think it's massively important to do things in your life that you love.
You got to have
because
that.
Because oftentimes people just put those things on the side. They go, well, I gotta take care of the bills, this, that, the other, and they put it on the side. But it's like, even doing the things that you love that have nothing to do with your financial growth and success, that channels a part of you that allows you to do the work that you love and get paid for it.
I couldn't agree more. What a beautiful way to say it. And it juices you up. It builds your confidence. It builds your bravery. And we need 2 things, bravery and power. We need those 2 things, positive power and more bravery to be happy. And it also allows you to give of yourself in different ways. Oh, we are meant to pursue our passions, but that doesn't mean necessarily all the passions are going to be money generating activities.
Right. So 2 things I'm curious to hear from you. One thing I want to point out that we were talking about that I want to make sure everybody hears this is, if you're doing something you don't feel like it's the thing, right? Is give yourself permission to go explore something else and realizing you don't have to sacrifice everything to go explore something else. For anybody that's listening that's going, I don't know if I'm doing the thing or I know I don't like this, give yourself permission to go explore and try other things in a small way so that you can start to see, does that feel better or worse than the thing I'm currently doing? And then make a decision from that place. Another thing I'm curious to hear from you is you found your gifts and you share those with the world and it's created this beautiful world for you and for everybody that's been able to experience your energy, your soul, your spirit, and everything you put into the world. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Stu.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, how do you think someone goes about finding those gifts?
Well, let me give a framework, which I love. So quickly, just to give you context, a few years ago, I said to myself, what's going on here that no matter where these people are calling from, no matter how much money they have, no matter what level, education, what country, what culture, they're coming with the same problems over and over. So briefly, what I did was I said to myself, I've got to answer two questions. What is missing in their lives that they're coming to coaching for, and what are they getting in the coaching process, right? So what emerged was, as I mentioned, they're missing two things, bravery to take accountability for what is not working in their life and change it. But that's not enough. You need the power to do it. You need the internal power, which women often struggle with, given our patriarchal world. And you need a connection to external power. So then I said, okay, that's great, but help people understand, well, how do I get bravery and how do I get power? And what emerged were what I call the seven most damaging power gaps that keep us from reaching our highest potential, our happiest, highest potential. And I did a survey, unbelievably, Stu, 98% of the over 1,200 people, 1,200 women who filled this out, this survey, are facing one of these gaps. And on average, they're facing 75% are facing three or more. And 90% of the men who filled out this survey have at least one of these gaps. I bring it up because you said, what was your key question? How do you figure out what you're, right? The very first gap is not recognizing your special talents, abilities, and gifts. So here's what I'd say. If you want to link to it, Sue, I'm happy to. I have something called a career path assessment, 11 pages of questions I wish someone had asked me 40 years ago. And if I had answered these questions, I don't think I would have made some of the big mistakes I made. Wow. But here's how you do it. You ask a lot of questions. First of all, look at every job you ever had, what you loved, what you hated, what you were great at, what you never want to do again. And what you want to look at are the natural talents that you have. So many people, when I talk to them, they're really good at something. And this was me managing $30 million budget, P&L. Oh, they're good at something, but they don't enjoy it. It doesn't come easily. You cannot be happy in your career if you're focused on skills that you hate using, even if you're the best in the business at it. Okay. So people don't recognize that, you know, I hate this. It's so boring. It's so tedious. I happen to be the best in the whatever. So you want to understand what are those natural gifts that come easily to you. You want to build the career around that. You also want to look at, I call it the 20 facts of you. I have a TEDx talk about that. A lot of women in particular don't want to say they've accomplished certain things. They don't want to sound like they're bragging. And this is what happens in a patriarchal world. We split ourselves in half, male, masculine, feminine. The feminine is not braggarty, is not assertive, is not strong, right? They get punished for that. But I want you to sit down and write what I call the 20 facts of you. These are the things that you have done that no one can take from you. You're not embellishing. You're not lying. Right. All through your life that you are most proud of, that made you feel most alive. And write them down as fact. And then start looking at how you can leverage all those skills and talents that you employed to make those things happen. That's, you know, there's a lot of tools I give, a lot of assessments, a lot of surveys. But you have to first, another issue is you've got to believe you're worthy of it. Have you ever read Gay Hendricks' books, The Big Leap? I think he has 10 other books. He talks about the upper limit problem we have. And he saw this working with CEOs. And what he says is, and I see this every day, we have an upper limit to how much love, money, health, success we think we deserve.
Right.
And when we go over that, we're going to sabotage it.
Right.
So you also have to look at, do you feel deserving of a beautiful life?
Yeah.
So many people don't. And if you don't, none of this is going to work. You have to heal that. You know, you really have to heal what your childhood taught you to be.
Yeah. I think two things I got from it is, like, one, if you're struggling to find out what's your gift, you got to ask more questions to yourself, right? Oh, be honest, research, take inventory in your life. You really got to
ask other people too. What do you love about me?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, if you think about, you're in middle school or something and you have, or high school or college or whatever, like, you have a class and you spend hours and hours and hours in studying these materials that, yeah, they may help you with things in life, but they also may not. It's like, what if you took that same approach to yourself where you said, I'm going to sit down for a day or a week and I'm going to study myself. I'm going to study, what do I like? What do I hate? What do I love? What do I laugh at? What makes me smile? And if you just did that, you would get such a good idea of who are you really? And then from that place, you can take a next step. And I love how you said too, knowing that you are worthy, knowing that you are enough. And I think a beautiful way, like, you have, it was called the 20 facts.
20 facts of you. That's
right.
What
it's
I
like
call it.
What you're doing, in a sense, from my understanding of that, is you're remembering the essence of who you are.
Yeah.
Right. We go through so many things in life and sometimes we forget about some things, and sometimes we forget about the good things and we remember the bad things. And so when we got to get into this place of being brave and having power, when we try to channel that power, we look at when we failed or when it didn't work or when it didn't work out. And so it's like, as you build this list, like you said, I love that. Write down 20 facts of your most powerful moments, your most proud moments, your most beautiful moments in your life. And then as you need to step into this brevity and power, now you look at this and it's almost reminding you of, like, okay, that's the person that I am, and using that to guide your life. And so many beautiful lessons. I have a few other questions I want to get to, and I feel like we could be here for like 12 hours. This could be all day.
Love but that.
I'm curious for you, what, because you almost got to it, and I want to make sure we come back to it, but what was like the gut punch after 18 years of being in corporate that was finally, I'm not doing this anymore? It was a breaking point. Unfortunately, sometimes it does take a breaking point to change things in our life, but I'm wondering what that breaking point was for you. And maybe if, you know, if any of our listeners can get a nugget from that, that can maybe help them not have to get to that breaking point.
Yes. My first book was Breakdown Breakthrough. We tend to wait till the breakdown for the breakthrough. Don't wait. So much damage is done. I think what happened, and of course I'm very grateful now, but it took me a long while to recover. So those last 2 years where I became a vice president at a very toxic organization, there was so much that was wrong and damaging, from literal sexual harassment to a narcissistic boss. And I teach and train a lot about narcissism. When you don't know what you're dealing with and it's a narcissistic personality disorder, you're in for it. But there were so many hardships, but I kept saying, I'm not thriving here. Something's wrong with me. That was the lesson the universe wanted me to unlearn. I kept going. I even got another job offer somewhere else, but it was less money. And there we go with the ego. No, I'm not going backward. Oh, great. So the gut punch was when it was time to lay off people after 9/11. And I was told I was one of them. The way it was told to me was, how do I want to put this? It wasn't accurate and wasn't true. I could tell that I knew that I was one of the highest paid vice presidents there. And they had to get rid of people who made a lot of money. And they replaced me with some guy 15 years my junior.
Dang.
But that wasn't even the end. I was crying, weeping. And a colleague of mine who was the same level and a woman said, I'm going to a lawyer. Never did good girl Kathy ever think she could fight back. And I said, you're going? I'm going. And I went. And I want to tell you, you know those few things that you can count on your hands that change your life?
Yeah.
He said, you got something here.
Wow.
And it ended very well for me. I'll leave it that way. But what I felt like I could never return to was this, Stu. I recognized, I don't want to be hurt and, you know, be hurtful to other people. This is what I demand now. I want integrity. I want transparency. I want honesty. I want kindness. And damn it, these are going to be non-negotiables. But I became a therapist because I had to heal. Yeah. You don't just get those things in your life.
True.
You have to fight for those things.
You got to put in the work.
So I think I snapped because I felt I had been truly wronged.
Yeah.
And I snapped because I knew that this is another thing I learned as a therapist. What chronically repeats, you are co-creating. I don't mean you deserve it. I mean, life is random. If every boss you ever have is toxic, what are you allowing? Why are you taking the job? Why are you staying?
Wow.
Why did I stay? So I realized deep in the recesses of my mind and heart, Kathy, you got to heal. You got to grow. You don't want this, and you don't want to attract it, and you don't want to sustain it. And boy, has my life changed because of that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate it took a gut punch, but I think what I'm hearing, and I think something that I've learned, and for anybody else can learn this as well, to take their life to this next level in a less painful way is really what happened when you went through this crazy experience, is you set a new standard for your life. Right. You said, this is, I used to accept narcissistic boss. I used to accept as my standard this. I used to accept this. And then when that gut punch happened, you said, you know what? The new standard I'm going to set for my life is this, this, and this. And just like you said, non-negotiable. And so I think people got to start to ask themselves, you know, if you're listening to this, you're not liking what your life looks like. It's like, what are the standards you have in place for your life? And do you need to raise your standards? Because if you raise your standards, it can take you to that next place that you truly want to be. It's like, if you're like, a non-negotiable for me is I need to be happy when I go to work. I need to look forward to showing up. Or if you're an entrepreneur, I need to look forward to the work I'm going to do rather than being sad about having to go show up and do this. Like, maybe that's a very simple non-negotiable that is totally fine. And maybe that's what you start with. But it's like, you got to have these non-negotiables, these standards. And as you raise these standards, like you said, your life's going to turn into such a more beautiful piece of artwork. And so
I love it.
Your standards.
And you know, in reading your bio on your profile on your site, you said something that I've never heard said like this, but I think it's what you're talking about. We want to get what we ask for, but sometimes the universe will teach us.
Yeah.
No, how did you put it? Teach us what we're asking for. I don't think I knew with clarity until that gut punch. I have had enough. And this is what I want. And darn it, why can't I have it? But I got taught that. It's really what you say. It's beautiful, beautifully put.
Well, thank you so much. And one other thing before we dive into our last few questions that I'm curious is, so, you know, 18 years you were in corporate, then you went into, you know, being a therapist. And now over the last, you know, chapter of your life, if that was what we want to call it, for lack of a, just to kind of package it all in one place, you've done a tremendous amount of things. You got two books, you're a speaker, you're an author, you're a therapist. I mean, you have so many things that you've done, and you've done them in all a really incredible way. I'm curious.
Thank you.
In the last chapter of your life, how have you been able to do so much and do it so well?
Thank you for that. I think I really appreciate that compliment. I'm taking that in. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm driven, I would say driven, but not driven by fear anymore. I'm driven by, if I can help one person a day bypass the pain I had, it's a good day. But in the process of that, there's so much learning, like as you do on your podcast. I feel like it's a master class in life every week. But once I learn something, I'm like, oh, I got to turn it around. I've got to give it to someone. I got to create a new framework. You know. And so, you know, the Forbes blog has allowed me to interview Tony and, you know, Pulitzer Prize winners. And so I think it's the curiosity plus wanting to make it gold for other people. I was thinking the other day, I mean, sometimes I'm tired, Stu, my God. I get a little worn out. Like, do you really have to write that now? Like a podcast in Forbes and my personal blog and LinkedIn newsletter. But I think the drive is, this was so interesting. My conversation with Stu, I got to turn this around. You got to be on my show. So it's a drive to help other people. And it's a drive, you know, I wonder if you agree with this. I see so many people in my field that are not masterful. I don't mean to be mean, but if your people are coming to you and you're kind of holding them in your hands, you better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So every day I want to be better at what I'm doing. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely does. And I can't help but think that a piece of it as well is when you find your gifts and you step into that, you can do a tremendous amount more when you're living and breathing in your gifts versus when you're doing something else. You're never going to accomplish as much because it doesn't give you the same aliveness factor. When you're alive, you just, I want to spread this. I want to share it. I want to do, you know what I mean? I want to do more of it. There's a different sense of aliveness you get when you step into those gifts. And so
thank you,
Kathy, so much for so many beautiful gifts you've given us today. Again, I truly mean this when I feel like we could be here for 12 hours because you got so much wisdom and a beautiful spirit. And I'm curious if people want to get more info on you, see what you're up to. Obviously, you have a lot of incredible things you do. Where's the best place they can check out you and everything
Thank you. I so appreciate it. KathyCaprino.com has it all. FindingBrave.org is my podcast. I've got a number of courses. AmazingCareerProject.com is starting Feb 7th. I don't know when this comes out.
Awesome.
16-week career course. So you can find it all in those places.
Love it, love it, love it. And so the last question I have for you, we ask this to every guest because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, is I'm curious for you, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
So, you know, to echo this theme, first of all, I want you to accept as truth that you are special and that the world needs you. And why I would say, not to be self-promotional, go watch the TEDx talk, Time to Brave Up. Yeah. And write the 20 facts of you. And one thing I want to point out, write the outcomes that you've created, not I'm loving, I'm kind, because then we get all gummed up about it. The things that you have made possible and what you're going to see is all of them probably have impacted someone else, that you were of service to someone else. I think when you start to recognize that, even that you walk the old lady across the street, you know, when you had a lemonade stand, I think you're going to start to see, wait a minute, I can be of service with who I am and be joyful in it. I would start there.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So we will, make sure we put the TED Talk in the show notes as well. If anybody wants to check that out, get your 20 facts down and, absolutely beautiful. So, Kathy, again, from my heart to yours, thank you for being here. Thank you for your wisdom, your spirit. Thank you for being with us today. Massively appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your great questions and everything you are doing to help people find direction. Love it. Can't wait to have you on my show.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
I'll see you there soon. Wow, wow, wow. All I can say after that episode with Kathy, I don't know about you, my friends, but Kathy's spirit, her soul, her wisdom was just beautiful, profound, and I think so guiding. I hope you took some wisdom, some nuggets from that. And most importantly, take some information from that episode and go act on it. Go apply it. You can see from Kathy's own story that she had years of dragging through something that she knew wasn't right for her, and she just never did anything about it. So maybe let this be a sign that if you're in a place and you're trying to make a shift, that maybe today is the day where you no longer settle and you say, I am making a step that if in my gut I know this doesn't feel right and this isn't what I'm supposed to do, maybe today is the day you take that first step and say, you know what, I'm going to step into something new, something different. And even though you may not know what it is, maybe that's exactly what you need right now. All right. So again, I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you have not yet, as always, please subscribe, leave us a review, share this with your friend. And other than that, my friends, I will see you and talk with you on the podcast next week. Take care, everybody.